Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing Summer Send-Off. My name is Alexa Servo-Didio, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Insight into Healing airs Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Please find us on Facebook at facebook.com/insightintohealing. And also check out my book, Finding Your Peace Within the Chaos, on Amazon. Well, tonight I have such an exciting show planned. As all of my listeners know, tonight's show is live. It's a live call-in show. So we will be having past guests, future guests, any updates and questions from listeners. Please feel free to call in at 646-716-7250. It's been such an incredible, incredible season. And I, again, just wanted to thank everybody so much for tuning in. I know it's been a tough season these last couple of months. And, again, I wanted to give everybody my support and love. And I know it's been hard. But know that we are going to get through this and that we can just keep pushing through and that things are going to get better. Well, tonight I have a few questions from listeners. Some will be dealing with COVID. Some will be dealing with depression. And also finding your hope and passion in life. Because so many times with all these different things that we are seeing that are going on in this world, sometimes can dim our light a little bit. But I'm here today to really help you find that peace within the chaos, find your passion, and reignite your soul to keep moving forward. Again, if anyone would like to tune in or would like to call, please feel free to call in at any time. Just if you're on hold for a little bit, just might mean there's some other callers calling in, so please bear with me. Let's just start with our first question. Dear Insight into Healing, how do I find hope? How do I find my passion in life and keep moving forward? Well, as I was saying in the beginning, it's so hard sometimes to find your hope. I think also to identify what your hope is, also to identify what your passion is. And it's okay if you don't know right away, but I think always listen to that, I say that gut feeling, that little spark you have in your heart, in your stomach, in your mind, and follow it. And I know so many times it can be drowned out from all the noise outside in the world, all the chaos that's going on and the negativity. But I say find your hope and peace and passion, I say, in silence with yourself. Sit in silence, sit and meditate on it, and be able to really tune in to what you're feeling, to what really makes you happy, to what gets you excited again about life, about doing certain things. I think that's how you start finding out what your passion is in life. Because so many times, you know, yes, we do try a number of things, and it's okay if we find a bunch of things at first that don't work. That's part of life. As I always say, we usually find a lot of things that maybe don't work for us in the beginning. But that is still also part of finding your passion. Don't get discouraged, because I think we have to look at both the positive and the negative, but also look at the things that say, you know what, I thought this might have been something for me, but it just didn't work out. And that's okay to be able to heal from it, to grieve from it, and to move forward. And I find so many times hope is such an important thing. And I know it's such a word that we hear all the time, you know, on the news and the media, through other people. And what is hope? As I always say, hope is that feeling of something I find to look forward to, something to get that those butterflies in your stomach, to know that whatever you're going through at this time, you're going to keep moving forward. As my father would always say, this too shall pass. And that's what I use for my hope. Even during some of the tough times and dark times in my life, I find that to sit with them, to embrace them, and I know it's very uncomfortable, but to let them process, to let them ride out that wave. And I think that's what's so important, to know that this too will pass. As I always say, the negative times will pass just as the positive times. We just have to give them weight to know that. I know negativity sometimes, and when you're in a dark place in your life, it can seem it's never going to end. You're never going to see that light at the end of the tunnel. But it's so important to know it is there. And I know sometimes people feel like it's been years and I've never seen a light. I haven't even seen a flicker or a shimmer. But I'm telling you, please, keep looking for it. Keep plugging through it. Keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you will start to find it. You will start to develop it. I think that's what's so important. And upcoming for our next season, we have so many great topics and shows coming up. But one of them will be on my book, Your Walk in Life. That is my second book that should be coming out October, November. And it is about the way I practice my therapy, how I do therapy in my private practice. And a lot of it is based on finding your hope, finding your passion, but also embracing, identifying, and also being able to work through the negative and also positive internal and external foundations and factors and external factors that come into our life, and to be able to use those as our pillars to move forward, to find our strength, to find that motivation to keep moving forward. And I know it's not easy. It's very hard, but I find it's very, very important to always make sure we're able to bring them all together so we can get a bigger picture in life and sometimes not be stuck. I know it's hard in the negativity in the present moment. So again, being able to find your hope, to find your passion, know each journey is unique. All of our hopes and passions are unique to each individual. So find what helps you. And it's okay, again, to find things that don't work and find that things do work. And keep a journal, keep an internal log, an inventory of it, so you can really look through it at the different stages of your processing, of your healing, of your developing, and being able to really understand, okay, this is part of my journey. These are the stepping stones. Some stones may be sharp. Some stones might be really big and hard to get past, but know that they're all part of that path to your walk in life. We have a caller. Let me answer for our first caller. Hello, and welcome to Insight into Healing.
Hi, Alexa. It's Jerry Caruso. How are you?
Hi, Jerry. How are you? Just in time. I was just speaking about finding your passion and finding your hope, and you're perfect for this. You called in right at the same time. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. I was just going over one of the questions from a listener about how to find your hope and how to find your passion in life. And I know during these tough times, it's hard to. It's hard sometimes to identify. It's hard to even want to look through it. How has it been through you, for you? Because I know your journey has just been so incredible.
It's just a matter of, like, focusing on what you'd like to do and try not to let things like age get in the way, or I can't do it, or I shouldn't be doing it, and, you know, just turn around and, like, not care about it, but just don't pay attention to any obstacles, because once you do that, it's like you won't be doing what you want to do, and you wake up one day saying, like, ah, why didn't I do that 10 years ago? And although people always ask me, why did you start comedy 26 years ago? But anyway, I mean, it's like, because you have to focus on it, and you have to focus on what you'd like to do, because if you don't, you're going to lose focus, and it doesn't take much for that. Even if one person who's really close to you says, I don't know if you want to do that, so you just need to, keep a clear head and just do what you want. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, because that's easy to happen.
Yes, yes, and that brings up a really incredible point. It's okay if others don't agree with your hope and your passion. That doesn't bring down or minimize what you want to work for, what you want to strive for, what your dreams and goals are. And I think that's so important because, we all have those Debbie Downers, but then I think some people also are trying to help, but they don't realize how they're saying their message. I know sometimes people are frightened of risk or being vulnerable or taking that step, but I think it's so important that people, if that's what they really want to do, to try that. You know, of course, always thinking of safety and all of that, but I think it's important to be able to it's okay to take that risk, and it's okay. A lot of times if people say, oh, I don't know, and it's outside the box, that's okay.
Right, that is. And if I think about it, if I think about before I went into comedy 26-plus years ago or acting or what have you, my biggest non-fan was my Italian mother. She goes, you can't do that. You know you should do that. That's a stupid. You do comedy, people laugh at you. I go, yeah, that's the whole point. But, you know, that's, you know, had I listened, look, I listened to my mother on a lot of things and my dad. But it's like I just had to take that chance and just do it and not really, you know, I'm not saying disobey my mother, you know, because, you know, if she could hear me now, she'd be like, I'll show you. You know, it's like I just had to stay away from that and not let that you can't do it or you shouldn't be doing it or you're too old to do that or you know, like when I started doing comedy, I was knee deep in, you know, 10 years plus as like a dad, and everybody goes, oh, you shouldn't be doing it. You have a family. I go, no, I still, you know, manage time with my family as long as I can go do my passion and what I want to do. And, you know, I just did it. And I thank God I took that step.
Yes, yes, because I think it's so important. Because if we listen to everybody around us, it can really be discouraging. And, yes, as I always say, you have your community. You have your team of people that you acknowledge, you trust, you respect, and you know they have, you know, they look out for you. They really have the best, and they know what they're talking about. And I think you still kind of, you know, I have my team that I bounce certain things off of and just to get an idea. But I think it's always making sure you have that small circle of community, of team, to go through different, you know, go over and be kind of a sounding board of what you're doing. But then I think it's also so important to have that sense of self and belief in yourself. You know, as it will be coming out in my next book, it's also my journey to motherhood. I had my child on my own. And, you know, through this whole process, you know, starting going to the doctors and telling people and stuff, at first, a lot of people who didn't know me were taken back. Oh, you can't do that. What are you talking about? You can't do that. But the people who really knew me and know what I'm about and know everything said, I'm not shocked at all. Of course you will do this, and it's going to be great. So I think it's being able to take that step, and it's scary. It's not easy. You know, it can be like, wow, what's going on? But I think it's so important sometimes, you know, when you live with regret, that can be really hard too.
Yeah, and I think, I take a different view. That's a great view. That's half of my view. But the other half of my view is when people say, you can't do that. No, you can't. No, you shouldn't. No, you won't. No, I wouldn't do that. So that would like spur me on to be like, hey, wait a minute. Yes, I can. I'm going to prove to them that I could do it. Now, granted, I wasn't an overnight success doing comedy, although I'm still not. 26 years plus. No, I mean, I feel like I'm a success to a point where I'm doing it to help people bring laughter and help people, you know, for worthy causes and charities and stuff like that. But I just like that factor where people just throwing stuff at you saying like, no, 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 no. And I look at it as go, 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 go. That was my attitude. And I'm glad I took that attitude. But yeah, I mean, you have to break that wall down where you're like, you're almost over that wall and you have to just get that other leg over. And then you go, no, I'm too tired. No, you just got to get it. And then when you fall on the other side of the wall, you say, oh my God, I did it.
Yes. Yes. And I think it's just what you were saying. It's, that's what hope and passion is you just keep going and you just love it. And that's what motivates you. And I think that's how you can kind of have that internal clock in you and that internal kind of reader in you that's saying, okay, I'm passionate about this. I love this. Like, this makes me hopeful. I think, you know, as for me, for doing psychotherapy and my shows and hearing people's stories and helping people heal, that's my passion. That's my hope. My hope is, and I can stand so strong behind it, because of what I see every day in my practice, with my clients. And that's why, another reason why, you know, for my radio show, my television show, and my books, is I want to spread that hope. It's not, you know, just me sitting here and talking and just saying, let's do it. I can tell you that hope is real. Passion is real. Dreams coming true is a real thing. So we have to be flexible, because they might not look exactly as how we would think they would look, but know that you can work through it and be flexible to, you know, have a little differences here and there, and to kind of be able to say, okay, this could work, this could work. But I think it's so important to know, to keep at it, to, you know, to show up and to keep working hard, and you will start seeing the progress.
Yeah, you have to take any pitfalls or any setbacks as like part of the journey, and then you get past that. And, you know, it's like for me and for you, it's like having a great show is wonderful, and then having an okay show, which is maybe out of your control, but knowing that you can come back and do it again, and you have another crack at it. And that's the same with comedy. Like, I noticed that all shows aren't created equal, but I know that, all crowds aren't. And I also know that if I get something out of it, like, say, I thought I did, I rated myself like, okay, I did like a 7 or an 8. But then more than one person comes up after and say, you know, I really needed that, or that was really good. And, you know, I had a bad day, and, you know, you turned it around, and geez, that's, how'd you know I needed that? I go, no, I didn't know you needed that. Maybe God did. I go, but I didn't know you needed that. All I know is that people seek to go to a show to be entertained, or to listen to your show to, like you, to be informed, and you don't realize the impact. But then once you find out what difference you made, as little as you think it is, you turn around and say, like, oh my God, that really felt good. And then it helps to push you to be better and better at what you do. That's like when I did a show at a rehab clinic, and I sad looking around, people on crutches and wheelchairs and missing limbs, and I look at the crowd positive at the end saying, hope you guys get better. Back in the room, there's a guy in a wheelchair. He looked at me and goes, you too, mister. But anyway, it's just like stuff like that I could take with me and just keep striving for the next show to do better, or just try to be more creative. And, I'm sure you find the same thing.
Yes, yes. And I always say, if I touch one person's life, if I provide them with one educational tool, some hope, or put a smile on their face, or help them figure something out by listening to my show, I've done my job. Then I feel like, wow, I was able to reach someone. I was able to say, give somebody a tool that maybe they didn't know ever existed. And I think that's what's so important. It's always that giving back to the community. How's it been with COVID and with the motivational speaking and the comedy for you?
It's been different. I had a couple of virtual comedy shows, which is so different. You're telling jokes, but I'm trying to pretend there's a crowd and they're reacting. Like, I'll say, how many Italians out there? Oh, I see this 4 or 5. Oh, that's not bad for tonight. And my friend and his wife are listening, and they're saying, like, you acted like there were people with you in the room. There weren't. Were there? I go, no, I just want to make it look like that I'm really doing a show and really trying hard and really trying to be funny. But it's like, it's so difficult because with, controlling any kind of crowds, you can't have big crowds. And so slowly but surely, but at least I've been doing Zooms and shows like yours, which is just the couple that I've done with you, and like I said, a virtual comedy show and a lot of radio spots where, you know, so I get to be funny, and that's really good. It's like, so that keeps me relevant, and now I'm going to push to do more until things get settled. And, you know, I know it's going to be slow but sure, and I know you and I will do something shortly down the road too, down there, just to
help
someone
out. We're putting this out there, as we've been doing it for a while, that we're saying we are doing a fundraiser. We are going to somehow put this together. It's still in this brainstorming area type of place, but we are going to figure something out, and it's going to be incredible, and I cannot wait for it to happen.
Even if we interview each other, actor and actor, you know, performer and performer, writer and writer, I mean, it's all fun because there's a gazillion stories, you know, that people could say, like, oh my God, are you kidding me? You know, is that what,
yeah,
how do these people do all that? And that's what I admire about you for all that you do. And we have similar drives, like, you know, you between the radio show, the TV show, writing, what you do to help others in therapy. And it's just amazing. And I just try to do the same through the different outlets that I have too. And, you know, like my friend has a radio show. It's mostly serious, but I inject a little bit of humor where possible and where it fits. But it's just like a great challenge just to try to do that. Or people interview me and they talk about different stories. And I want to interview a couple of friends that I have as cancer patients and see what they go through and try to get the humor out of it and show the victory that they have. Like anything I share, I hope people pick up and say, like, hey, I could do that too, or I can make a difference. And I'm sure you feel the same.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's encouraging people to get out there. They can do it. And I think that's what's so important. And I think so many times, you know, there is so much negativity out there. So it's important to be able to hear people's stories. And I think that's why it's so incredible to hear people's inspirational stories, to hear their struggles, but to know that they were able to get where they wanted to get, and really that the hard work that they put in is so important. And, you know, I have a second question from a listener, and I'd really be interested in and what how you would feel about this. It says, dear Insight into Healing, I am struggling, and I feel a huge trigger for me is the media. Why are they always trying to make us panic? I feel they report mostly negative news. What can I do?
What would you say, Jerry? Turn off the TV or turn on something. Turn away from the news. You can ingest so much and get so many opinions, and a lot of it is to scare you, and sometimes politics is involved. I always say put on a comedy, put on a drama, put on anything to get your mind off of it, because we could be so consumed by media. Like, you even look at Facebook, a lot of negativity sometimes, and it's like, my God, but, you know, look for the happy things. Like, focus on the good things. Like, you know, we all know news. Bad news sells, unfortunately. I had an acting role that got cut short. I was supposed to be in a series called Karma. Unfortunately, it got cut short, which was really bad karma. But anyway, and I was like a cameraman for a news team, and so my point in the movie was telling the girl, why is there always bad news? She goes, oh, you know, bad news sells. And I go, yeah, that's true. And unfortunately, like, you know, you watch news and you'll get a good story at the very end. It's like, why can't you start with the good news and end with the good news and don't dwell on all the negativity? Yeah, if you have to report something tragic, yes, people have to know. But like I tell people, stay away from the news station. Stay away from the newspaper. Just focus on anything but all the stuff that's going on, because there's so much going on with the rioting, the protests, and the pandemic. It's like yeah. You have to be able to focus away from it or get a hobby that makes you happy, you know, even if it's singing. And people say, you can sing. I go, apparently you don't have a good hearing, because that's part of my act. But at least do something that takes you away from things, because we can sit there all day. You could be on Facebook all day and scroll and troll and say, like, oh, my God, this is terrible. Oh, I feel terrible. I'm less happier than I was an hour ago. Well, get off of it, you know, or, you know, call somebody. Call your parents, you know, call your best friend, you know. Go to a movie. Do something.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know if you found this, but, you know, I think it's very important, of course, to be educated and well-informed and know what's going on so you can make educated decisions and be safe. But I find, especially lately, either it's on Facebook or media or news, that no matter what your take is or what your position is on anything, from politics to religion to, you know, any type of things, vegan eating, meat eating, whatever, they almost pick the most offensive headlines from each side. So each person they're just truly, you know, so disturbing for someone to even think that's possible, that could happen, and that people just get so upset, because of course they would get upset. This is something that could be, you know, such a drastic, extreme statement that it almost makes you feel that you start acting out of fear. You start feeling, you know, helpless. You start feeling defensive. And I've been seeing a lot of that, you know, especially, you know, when it becomes political or religious-wise, race-wise. And I really, you know, as I practice in my sessions with my clients, especially in couples therapy, is we have to see both sides, three sides of every story. And the most important thing is when we're in session in the couples therapy, it's not about being right or wrong. It's not about getting the other person to say, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong, because that's an uphill battle. Most of the time that doesn't work. When people have feelings, they're feelings. You can't tell someone what they feel isn't real. You lost the battle right there. That doesn't work. That's how they feel. And when you tell somebody that, they become defensive, and then it escalates. So as I would say is, put yourself, listen to your other person, the opposite person's view. Listen to it with very neutral ears. And be able to empathize what they were saying and said, if I really was in their shoes and believed exactly what they would believe, would I be feeling this? Can I understand why they're so upset? And then know that that person is going to be doing that same to you, and being able to acknowledge and respect and embrace how you feel. And I think that would really open up people to have discussions, so it's not such a, you know, either this or that. You kind of find the gray area, and you realize we're all human, and we're all reacting out of fear, out of pain, out of past trauma, out of loss or things that have happened, and being able to really be in the moment and saying, okay, this person is a human. Most people really don't want the worst for other people. So it's being able to kind of be on that level to empathize with those around us.
Yeah, and the only way to do it is, like you said, to hear both sides, like your side and their side, and then you could rationalize, and then you could come out to, you know, either whether it be a happy medium or yes, I understand, even if you don't totally agree. I mean, this is like why at many jobs I have, I've met a lot of great people from New York and New Jersey, and ironically, you know, the bond with men is usually sports, and that's so true, and that's me in a nutshell. But I used to get calls from Yankee fans and Met fans and Jet fans, and they used to tell me, like, you know, what we like about you, you're not a typical Boston guy. You're giving it to us in a very nice way, but you have your reasons for it, we have our reasons, and you listen, then we can have a drink, and we're fine. And that is so true, and that's how I try to be in any issues, because you can yell at somebody and take over the argument and say, like, okay, I'm right, see, I'm right, I told you, or there's a way to do it, like you said, where you hear both sides, and there's your side, there's her side or his side, and then you rationalize, and, you know, you're going to understand, even if you walk away saying, well, I still believe in what I said, but at least I got to hear their feelings and their side. Because it's so true. You have to act like a psychologist or a psychiatrist in many ways, but then you have to be yourself and be able to express it. And once you do that, it builds a great relationship, as opposed to saying, like, oh, yeah, Jerry thinks he's always right. Oh, my God, typical hard-nosed Italian. I don't have to listen to him. But honestly, you know, there's a way to do it, and I always find that way. Hey, I never got into a lot of fights yet, despite being Italian and having links to the mob. No, I'm just kidding. Despite being Italian and sometimes having my own opinion, I always try to listen to people, and they walk away, they're like, how can I be mad at him? Like, all right, okay, I get it, you know. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And I think also the whole idea is, I would think, is you want the person to hear your message. You want the other person to be able to hear what you're saying. And I think it's so important, as we learn as therapists, is how you have to know your audience, how they can hear you. How can my clients hear and understand the way they can hear it? Because that's the whole thing. You can't tell somebody what to do, but you can figure out what would ring true for them. How would they hear it? And you have to kind of make that space, that environment, that safe environment, that environment to be vulnerable, where people can explore, navigate, you know, negotiate different points of view, different things, and try it without feeling judged, without feeling they're going to be attacked. So if your message is to attack the other person and that's how they hear it, you're never going to get your message across. If your message is, I want you to know I'm in pain, And I'm scared for my future. I'm scared for my children. I'm scared I'm going to lose my job. I'm scared I'm not going to have enough money. I feel like, you know, people don't like me because of my race or my religion. Those are the messages we want the others to hear. And I think it's important how we formulate them so the other person can hear, so we can be on that playing ground where we're able, where people feel, say, okay, this is a tough topic, but let's bring it up. And, I, you know, as I always say on my shows are the places to bring up that tough dialogue. And I think it's important to be able to role model how these tough dialogues can happen, because I think it's important to bring them up so people can really feel comfortable to be talking about them, but also to be able to feel like they can express what they're holding inside and also have their needs met.
True, true. Second of all, I don't want to be a role model. I always tell my grandkids, don't be like Papa. No, I'm just kidding. I always think that there's a way to present to people, you know, how you feel without having them walking away saying, boy, that Jerry needs a shrink. But there's just a way to communicate and have the friendly conversation, even if it's not a battle, but, you know, differences of opinion. Because you're right, you always have that ultimate feel like, oh, God, I hope I sound like I'm making sense, or, geez, I hope people would listen to me and think I'm making sense instead of, you know, talking out of my butt, because, you know, we all have that way of doing it where you're talking words and say, what did I just say? But, I mean, once you're able to convey and communicate effectively with people, it makes all the difference in the world. And then it turns out that people start to come to you, and, you know, not that you want them to come to everything, but, you know, you want to be there for them, you know, like.
They feel comfortable that you'll be able to hear it and respectfully give an answer.
Amen. And I like being that way. I don't want to be the guy who's like, no, don't go to him. I know what his answer is going to be. I try not to act that way, because I don't think it doesn't get you any points. It's not going to help you or help the person or help the cause.
Absolutely. Well, Jerry, I would love for you to stay on the line. We've just got another caller. Would you stay with us?
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Hi, and welcome to Insight into Healing. You're on the air.
Hi. I hope you're talking to me.
Yes, I am talking to you. Hello. Who is this?
Just making sure. this is Julian Biba. I've been a guest on your show before.
Yes, yes, Julian. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us again tonight. Please tell our listeners about our episode and about what you do.
I am the director of a new festival, film festival in New York City. It's called New York True Venture Film Festival. I'm also I'm mainly a screenwriter, and I also direct and produce some projects on my own time to time. So that's who I am.
Oh, wonderful. So how has everything been going for you, you know, with the films and the festivals and also with COVID? How has it impacted your business?
Oh, it has, because, you know, like many other aspects of our life has been, like, put to a stop because of COVID-19. And we had to postpone the dates of our festival because, on the other hand, we want to be truthful to our international filmmakers, to which our promise was to be able to show their works in a big screen in New York City. So instead of turning that into an online festival, we decided to postpone. So now we're going to have the festival on September 5th and September 6th of this year, 2020.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I can't wait. I'm definitely looking forward to being there. It's such an incredible, incredible festival. How can my listeners find all the information about the festival, and can they still submit their work?
Yes. The last deadline for submission is July 31st, and they can just go to our website, nytvff.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. Julie, one question. Jerry and I were going over a question from a listener, and I think you would be another great person to answer this question. the person writing said, how do I find my hope? How do I find my passion in life? How do you feel about that?
I mean, I've had quite a colorful life. I've had my own ups and downs the whole time. I try to concentrate on the positive, on everything. I try to see the positive side of the things. Like, let's say it was a very bad thing, the COVID-19. I tried to look at the positive side, gave me time to write, to dedicate more time to writing. I did finish editing another film, and the short film that we finished recently. So instead of being like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? So instead of concentrating on the negative side, I try to concentrate on the positive side. The mental part, the psychological part of it is very, very important. We do it to ourselves.
Yes, yes, I agree. And Jerry Caruso was also on the line, too, with us. And, you know, we were just speaking about that. It's really, you know, especially also, you know, we're saying with all watching media, watching the news, we are kind of bombarded with all this negativity and pretty tough stuff being thrown at us. And I think it's important to be able to kind of turn off and focus on other things, focus on your hopes and your passions, and also be able to also give your mind that time to kind of unwind and also be able to fill with some positive things, to be able to kind of reboot. Because when it becomes so overloaded with negativity, you know, that's where I find you find hard to find the motivation, to find your hope. So it's so important to find that hope and that passion and really, really utilize it to keep you getting through these tough times.
Definitely, definitely. 100%.
Yes. Yes. So your film festival will be September 5th and September 6th. So this is really, really exciting. And again, Julian, I wanted to thank you so much for calling in and giving us an update. And if anybody has any questions, definitely look up your information. And then they also can send an email to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And I can also provide them for more information. Well, if you'd both like to stay on the line, I just have one question. We have about a few minutes left of the show. So I just wanted to maybe go over this one. And it says, Dear Insight into Healing, I've been struggling now for 8 years with depression. And ever since COVID hit, I feel even worse. Any suggestions? And I think, you know, this really comes hand in hand with many of the questions that we have gone through tonight. And what we've been speaking about is this on its own, COVID and the protests and the rioting can be very disheartening. But then, you know, having someone have a mental health illness or a physical illness can be even more difficult to navigate through. Jerry, what would you say?
I always say that, to find someone that you can lean on to talk to, whether it's family, friends, someone you trust, and even go as far as even the religious aspect, like any kind of clergy. Like, I have friends in clergy who are really great to talk to during down times, and they really motivate you and lift you up, and a lot of it's spiritually too. And people need to know that they're not alone, that there's all of us into it. And, you know, obviously there's a higher power like God who's in control, and, you know, you do what you can, but you also, try to find hope and even peace. Because, like I said, I have a handful of clergy friends, and they're all wonderful people. And I won't stop naming names, but they're from all over, and they're great people, and they spiritually lift me. And that's what I think some people need, especially during depression, because depression is very difficult. And, you can get all kinds of medical help, too, but you don't want to lean on that, where you start to lean on meds and prescriptions, whereas, you know, someone can be truthful and honest with you, and what better place outside of your mother or father than something from the clergy or religious type of person that can really, you know, lift your spirits and, you know, give you hope. You know, that's just my opinion.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you 100%. I have a very strong faith in God, too, so absolutely, definitely. Julian, what do you feel about this question?
Oh, I totally agree with everything Jerry said, but I like to talk, like when I'm asked about something, I like to present it with an example, And I will give an example. I don't know how relevant it's going to be at this, but at some point I was an illegal immigrant in some other country, and I was homeless, jobless, and everything. I was like really, really down. I happened to get in touch with some with a Hindu group, and I was meditating with them every day, and was about like a week or so. One of the monks asked me, how do you feel? I said, no, this is strange. I'm happy. But I have nothing in order, but I am happy. I don't feel the burden. Oh, my God, I have to do this. I have to do that. Like, I'm in this kind of situation. I feel okay. So what Jerry said about the religion or about, you know, meditation, that, like I said earlier, is this is psychological condition that we all have, that we all find ourselves into. And that's the only way to actually uplift ourselves, because like Jerry said, if we rely on medication, then we are going to be in trouble in the long run.
Yes. True. True.
That brings
up a good point with meditation. It's like the same thing. It's like bonding with whether it be a higher being or just finding the inner peace within yourself.
Yes.
And what better place meditation just, you know, sets you away from things and gets you away and clears your mind, as well as any form of religion does, and God himself. So very, very good point.
Yes. And I think people have to have, as I always say, a whole arsenal of different tools in their tool belt. So, you know, having God, having meditation, you know, speaking to a community support team, having your family, your friends, seeing a therapist, seeing, you know, a psychiatrist, if there is a medical condition that does require medication at some point. I think it's being able to see the whole picture and know that it doesn't just have to be one way of doing anything. There's always being able to add on and adjust and to be able to really find out what is the best for you, what is the best way, the best process to help you be who you want to be. Guys, we are at the end of the show. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to add one little thing. Also, another way, a really good way in this direction would be if you concentrate yourself in a higher goal, that something that is going to keep your mind concentrated into, and that's what's going to lead you, is not, you're not going to have time to worry about anything that you have on the side. So you're going to concentrate on this higher goal that you have, and that's also another form of meditation, let's say, practical meditation.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for calling in. And I'd also like to do a shout out to Mary Kay. She is an incredible supporter. She's in the chat room right now. So I just want to thank you again, Mary Kay, for all your support and your questions. And you've been doing really great with everything you've been doing, Mary Kay. So again, thank you. And everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Have an incredible summer. We'll be back in September. We have great new shows. It's going to be exciting news. There's going to be a new look, a new logo, a new brand, all exciting information to come, everyone. Everyone, thank you so much for all of your support. Have a good night, and God bless. Good night.
Bye-bye.